In the old paradigm, if I did something that Jay perceived to be bad or wrong, let's say I stole his wallet, or at least he thought that I did, he could very well be angry and resentful and hurt and sad and all of that. And in the old paradigm, in order to be forgiven, I have to go to Jay and say, "Jay, I'm sorry, that was wrong, that was bad of me, I apologize." And in that mode, then Jay would have the opportunity to say, "I forgive you." That's kind of what we all grew up with, I think. I grew up with that model. There's a couple of problems with that model. There's a dependency. What if I don't perceive I did something wrong? Then Jay's SOL. Or what if Jay doesn't forgive me? Then I'm SOL. If he doesn't. So there's a dependency when we rely on the other party to do something. We're hooked. We're hooked. You see that? So that's one gross limitation of the old model of forgiveness, where there's a dependency on the other person. What if the other person dies? What if they move out of town? What if they're not available? Stuck. The good news is we don't need them. It's actually better without them, because it's an inside job. And when we apply this framework to other relationships in life, we can find that we get into that space of being more present, not tethered to the past or anxious about the future. And then on the cross, and Carolyn May says, if you're on the cross, get down, somebody else could use the wood. I like that quote. So yeah, we can get stuck in anticipating a future of, uh-oh, what am I going to do or say when I'm in front of them? Or did you hear what they did to me? And we're not fully present. We're more projecting in the past and in the future. And they're gone. They're gone. And it's easy to forget that. Also, my story on the scale of things, it wasn't a story where one might be a victim of abuse, where that can be a dreadful occurrence that can happen in an early age and be ongoing. Or one of my patients, her son was murdered at a teen gathering, and she had the heartache of a son who she was so close to died. Sometimes we get distracted in life, and the distractions that we pay attention to are in the outer mind and the outer world. And sometimes our distractions are really a clue that we need to do self-forgiveness. So often we forget about that, because our critic, our judge, is very sneaky and very active and sometimes very well hidden. So, with forgiveness, there's a relativity of time. Our critic judges time. Our critic says, is it taking you that long? Why is it taking you that long? Or took you too soon, too quick? Maybe you didn't do it right. So our critic will judge time to be good or bad. When we get out of judgment, when we go into our NJO, our non-judgmental observer, then we're out of linear time. Because emotions don't know the calendar. There's a non-linearity to our emotional reactions that have nothing to do with clock time. You go to a Thanksgiving reunion or a high school reunion, boom, like that, you're back in time. The memories come up and it's like, oh wow, did we really regress that far? So time is one thing that's malleable in the act of forgiveness. And also, choosing smaller ticket items is helpful. So with my brother and sister, in the grand scale of things, that wasn't extraordinary. It was an owie. And so those owies that we can come across every day or week or month when somebody annoys us and we just stay in our reaction, that's where we can be stuck and limited on. And